So here's Jesus once again being challenged, given something that the people who were challenging him thought of as a conundrum, an unanswerable question. But Jesus didn't have any trouble answering it. And I think that the message of this conundrum echoes in our lives as well. We wonder how we can be in the world and do worldly things and still be Christians and do Christian things. Because in so many ways they seem to be conflicting things, conflicting views. But Jesus had no trouble understanding and answering the question. Today a lot of people ask whether we should follow science or religion. To me, there's no question. Science tries to deal with, understand how things work. You know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to understand how things worked. And we had a whole box full of clocks that I took apart trying to understand how it worked. I never could seem to get them back together again. But I was curious. How does that thing work? But religion doesn't address the how of things working. It addresses the why. Why are we here? Whose are we? What's the point? What's the right thing to do? Why? Why should I do this? Why shouldn't I do that? Well, God's Word tells us. There's no conflict there to me. Science is interested in worldly things. Religion, Christianity, is interested in spiritual things. Jesus said, "Give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's." Use worldly abilities to deal with worldly stuff. That's okay. God put us in the world that we might be in the world. And we have a job to do here, and we have things to do here. We're all expected to work. We're all expected to make a living. We're all expected to take care of our families. We're all expected to help each other and reach out to each other. But that's not all we're expected to do. Jesus also said, "Give unto God that which is God's." And for those people who are focused on the world, that's just fine with them. Because that leaves them doing their worldly things with worldly things, and they're perfectly happy to be there, at least for the moment. But it also leaves us understanding that while we may have to do worldly things to deal with worldly problems, we have spiritual things, and what, after all, is God's? What is there in the world that He did not make? What is there in the world that He does not make work? But is there in the world that is not part of God's world? Well, we're all part of it. So those of us who know God know that while we do worldly things to take care of worldly problems, we struggle much less with the things of the world because we have the things of the Spirit to lift us up, to comfort us, to make us strong, to make us part of one heavenly body, one heavenly church. And those who seek to be in the world and of the world and worry about the world will do their worldly things. And those of us who seek to be in the Spirit and of the Spirit and spiritual will do spiritual things. Now understand that, you know, sometimes when you go out in the woods can be a scary place. It's dark out there, isn't it, David? Yeah. And there's big animals and some of them will eat you. I went to the Tarahumara Sierra in Mexico, and I was amazed because we were doing medicine there with the people, and the little kids were all really quiet. I mean, you go into a clinic in this country, and the kids are screaming, right? You walk into the room with a needle, and they all start to yell. I mean, some of the adults don't do too good with those things either. These kids barely made a whimper. And I couldn't understand it at first, and then I remembered where I was. I was in a place where people lived. Some of them literally lived in caves, lived in cabins. They dealt with animals, wolves, coyotes, mountain lions, that were quite capable of eating them. Children who made noise in that kind of environment did not live long enough to make children. It's a dangerous place. The world for worldly people is a dangerous place. If you have something, somebody else might be out to get it. If you need something, you might have to take it from someone else. That's a terrible way to live. That's a terrible way to be. That's scary. Just as scary as the woods is for somebody who's only 3 feet tall. But when you have God in your life, when you have Jesus in your heart, then you know that this world is only a small part of what our lives are all about. This world is a test. This world is an opportunity. This world is a place where, yes, we have to suffer. We have to feel pain. The world has pain in it, and we're going to have some of that somewhere along the line. But we have a promise. We have a promise of God in our hearts. We have a promise of Jesus in our lives. We have a promise of healing and a promise of love and a promise of caring and a promise of a life beyond this life. Understanding beyond our understanding. Love beyond any love that we can imagine. That waits for us. That fills us with something so much better than just that dog-eat-dog or lion-eat-kid world out there, that we don't have to worry about that stuff. We don't even have to worry about death. Because Jesus has promised us that even in death, He would be with us. Now, if somebody can't even scare you with death, how can they scare you with anything? Pain is of this world. God is of the universe. Pain and suffering are temporary. God is eternal. Death can only come to us in this earthly body. Life can come to us forever in our spiritual body. Jesus said to them, "Give unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and unto God that which is God's." Yeah, we have to take care of the world. Yes, we have to deal with the suffering. Yes, we have to reach out and try and comfort each other when times are tough. Yes, the price of gas is going to go up again, folks, and the economy is going to go down again, folks. But in all that, God loves us. In all that, God cares for us. In all of that, God will be with us. Whether the stock market goes up or down, God is with us. Whether the price of gas goes down or up, God is with us. Whether life continues in this world or ends and goes on to the next, God is with us. So give your money to the tax collector when he comes. That'll keep you out of jail, and then you can come to church. But come to church and give your life to God. That'll get you to heaven. And not only that, but it makes the world a so much better place. Amen. Amen.